Hey, this is Chad Michael Murray. I'm playing Agent Jack Thompson from Marvel's Agent Carter, and you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Hello, fans of Capes and Cowls. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber, once again broadcasting from the lair. To all of you guys and gals out there who are nice enough to tune in each and every week to Comic Book Central. Busy few weeks here at the lair, recorded several interviews. I've got a very silly, very fun series of episodes coming up in April. I think you're going to get a kick out of those. A bunch of new likes on Facebook, new followers on Twitter, more subscribers on iTunes. So some new listeners out there, if you're new to Comic Book Central, thanks for hanging out in lair with us. I think you're going to have some fun. Be sure to check out the website, comicbookcentral.net. There you're going to get each and every conversation I've had with some amazing guests. You can also subscribe to the show, as we mentioned, in iTunes. You'll get every episode there. A lot of cool episodes out there, to say the least. Kicked it off at the beginning. We premiered with Stan the Man Lee talking about bringing Marvel Comics to life back in the 60s and 70s. More recently, William Shatner gave us his humorous take on a possible Star Trek III appearance. That was pretty cool. Jamie Alexander's episode, you can find out about her embarrassing moment while auditioning for Thor. They're all out there. So many more, so many great moments. Be sure to download or stream the episodes. Take a listen. Share them with your comic book loving friends. If you would be so kind to leave a review in iTunes, I appreciate it. If you're digging on the show, and be sure to make an appointment to hang out with us each and every week here in the lair. So many guests on tap. Can't wait to get to them. There's no waiting to chat with today's guest, though. Chad Michael Murray is in lair today. Fair warning, right up front, kiddies. Top-level SSR spoiler alerts are in full effect. Please take note. Agent Carter has aired on ABC. If you haven't seen it yet, you can get all 8 episodes on iTunes, on Amazon. You can watch episodes 4 through 8, depending on when you're listening to this. They're on Hulu or ABC.com. Again, they keep 5 episodes in the cache, so they're out there for now, but go get them. Go watch them now. Get the first 3 episodes on Amazon. Go watch the other ones for free. Get it. Watch it. Love it. We will be discussing the show here today in its entirety. Key plot points we're going to be talking about. Fates of several characters. You have been warned. Spoiler alert. Check this out. I'm going to be right back with Agent Jack Thompson from Marvel's Agent Carter, Chad Michael Murray. Phase 1 of the Marvel movie universe was in full swing when Captain America, the First Avenger, took the worldwide box office by storm. Part of the success of the film was the relationship between Chris Evans' Steve Rogers and Haley Atwell's Agent Peggy Carter. Now, Atwell was such a standout in the film, she got her own Marvel one-shot on the Iron Man 3 Blu-ray. That one-shot was a hit. Of course it was. And Marvel's Agent Carter went into production as an 8-episode miniseries set to air on ABC during the Season 2 mid-season break of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, for the series, Atwell returned as Agent Peggy Carter, a beautiful, tough-as-nails super spy for the Strategic Scientific Reserve, which eventually becomes S.H.I.E.L.D. Peggy not only faces down the bad guys who are out for world domination, she also has to contend with the sexism of the 1940s. Most of her SSR associates think she's only good for menial tasks. And that attitude is brought to the fore by snarky, sexist agent Jack Thompson, played to perfection by Chad Michael Murray. Now, Chad's first interest was in sports, but then he got into modeling and eventually caught the attention of the folks at the WB Network, where he appeared in Gilmore Girls, Dawson's Creek, and, of course, his breakout role as Lucas Scott on the smash hit One Tree Hill. Around the time the WB was in superhero mode with Smallville, Tarzan, Birds of Prey, at that point Chad was called upon to strap on the six-shooters, put on a cowboy hat and mask, and ride the plains of the Wild West as a modernized Lone Ranger in a TV movie pilot. That comic cred came in handy with his latest project, portraying Agent Jack Thompson in Marvel's Agent Carter. With Agent Thompson, Chad has found a character with a lot of layers and a whole lot of issues. He may start off as a stereotypical 40s misogynist, but we soon find out he's hiding a dark secret, one he eventually tells to Peggy Carter, making for a comic book show with incredible dramatic depth, as well as an insane amount of bad guy butt-whooping. Well, we get to do a little time traveling with my guest today. In the late 1800s, he could be found traveling the Wild West of the WB as the Lone Ranger. Now, he currently resides in the fabulous 40s alongside Marvel's Agent Carter as SSR Agent Jack Thompson. Who is that masked man? It is Chad Michael Murray. Chad, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Great introduction, my friend. I appreciate that.
You got some very cool roles. First off, I have to ask, how is Agent Jack Thompson recovering after squaring off against Peggy Carter?
Well, he's doing all right. I think that, he got promoted. Even though he got his hands full, he got promoted. So I think he'll take it.
Yes, he did. Did you learn nothing from your time in Russia with Peggy?
There was a pause, so at least instead of having his instinct kick in and just jump right to taking the job, at least he thought about it for a second. There was a beat, which means he's growing.
There was a dramatic pause. Was that written into the script, or did you do that?
For my own sanity, I had to take a beat and literally think about this decision. And, you know, just as a human being, living in Jack's skin, I want Jack to have his humanity growing, you know, inside him. I want the humanity to grow inside him, and I think that as far as a story arc goes, for a character, you want to see that there's been development, but we don't want to make such an abrupt change that it takes him away from who he is, because that's why we love Jack, because he is rude and you know, he does what's unexpected.
That he does, and we will definitely get more in-depth into the series Agent Carter, one of my favorites. It is very cool, and as we mentioned at the top of the show, spoiler alert, we're going to spoil everything, so if you haven't seen it, just go watch it. My goodness, catch up already. We'll also talk about the Marvel Universe, but let's go back a little ways. Your first interest was not acting. It was sports, correct?
Oh my God, yeah, I'm a sports fanatic. I grew up playing football and soccer and hockey, and so, you know, I think when you're a kid, until you realize you're not 6'5" and able to compete with those big boys, you have the dream of wanting to play sports professionally.
Now, did you want to play for the Buffalo Bills?
Come on, man. I mean, of course. I would say who doesn't, but I guarantee I get a lot of flack because a lot of people would prefer not to be in that weather.
Steelers fans, maybe?
I'm a Buffalo fan.
You asked who Buffalo. Wouldn't want to play for Buffalo. I said, well, Steelers fans. I'm Steelers, so.
Oh, no, I'm saying plenty of people would probably say that they don't want to play for Buffalo. Just due to
the cold. I'm with you.
Our recent 15-year history has been a little rough, but turn it around.
Look, here's the thing. This interview is going to air probably a few weeks after we mention this, but you got LeSean McCoy. You got Matt Cassel.
Yep.
Unfortunately, you also have Rex Ryan. Sorry about that.
Hey. Who is the best head coach on the market this year?
I'm glad you qualified on the market. Yes.
Well, of all the available options, I would have to say that Rex Ryan definitely the best coach, given our situation and the scenario, the team that we have. I think Rex Ryan's actually a great addition. Somebody who's going to really step up and put the winning attitude back into Buffalo, which is what we need. I mean, ever since our team's in the 90s, it's been a rough 15-year go. So you got Ryan coming in with, we've got a stellar defense. He's going to come and make it even better. So I think we're really fortunate to have him. And God willing, we finally rectify his quarterback issues.
You're pumped. I can tell. You're enthusiastic about the upcoming season.
I am. I really am. I think the LeSean McCoy trade, I don't think anyone saw that coming.
No.
Matt Cassel will add some depth to the quarterback position. And, you know, I think my gut says they'll probably get another free agent and draft somebody and have a battle in camp. Whoever comes out on top is going to be a game manager.
It's going to be interesting. Like I said, I'm a huge Steelers fan. So this part of the year is just, it's brutal. It takes forever. So
I know.
It's the worst. But all right. So for you, sports didn't work out. Why the interest in acting?
I just love film. I've always loved film. I think ever since I was a kid, I just loved watching movies with my father. We pop different films in here and there. I just always loved putting on shows and performing and being a class clown to a certain degree. And I just really enjoyed the art of it. I really did. And I just felt like it was something that deep in me, that was just what I was going to do ever since I was young. I kind of just had this feeling that this is what I would do and this is what I was, you know, meant to do. So, weird stories that one day I went to Blockbuster, I rented a movie, and on accident, I rented a different film, but I, on accident, rented Primal Fear, and I said, well, Blockbuster's closed, let's just watch it and see what happens. And when I watched Ed Norton's performance in Primal Fear, I said, now that's what I want to do. That was incredible. It was so solid. It worked so good in that film. And I think that's why I ultimately made the decision. That's what I wanted to go for.
Yeah, and that's, well, do you remember what your first gig was? Your first act, your paid, first paid acting gig?
I do. It was Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Okay. What was your line?
Oh, God. Oh, geez, man. I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. I think I asked if I could have some more soup.
It seems appropriate. Seems wildly appropriate.
Yeah.
All right. And then before you know it, you're like the WB fave. You're like Mr. WB at this point. What do we got? Gilmore Girls, Dawson's Creek, One Tree Hill. You're everywhere.
Yeah, I did a lot of years at that network. And I'm grateful for, you know, the dedication that they showed me and the love that they gave me. I was really blessed for that entire run. And, you know, now I'm over at fantastic ABC and doing Agent Carter.
Yeah, I mean, just some great roles. And you talk about heroes. We alluded to it in the intro, obviously on the WB. I think in this era, they're kind of like Smallville was such a hit, and then they were like trying Birds of Prey, and I think there was a Tarzan reboot or something, but they tried to get a Lone Ranger off the ground. Look, I give points for going for broke on this thing. This is not your daddy's Lone Ranger.
I think we did try that. God, I think that was 12 years ago?
2003.
12 years ago. That's when it aired. I think we shot it in 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, regardless. But, we ended up airing as a two-hour movie or two-and-a-half-hour film. And it was, at the time, I'll tell you, I loved the gig. Get to play a cowboy in the desert, shooting up in Santa Clarita, riding horses, shooting guns. It was a great gig.
Well, that's why, like, you are one of, very, very few actors who have put the mask on, who have gotten on a white horse named Silver, rode to the William Tell Overture, albeit a very rock and roll version of the William Tell Overture. What was that like to just be the Lone Ranger? Is it just like as fun as we would possibly imagine it would be?
It was. You know, I actually truly enjoyed that gig. I had a lot of fun. I actually had mono while shooting that gig. I was sick for 2 months. I couldn't get rid of it. So I shot that while having mono, and you know, we were shooting long days, 16, 18-hour days, while you're sleep-deprived. It's pretty rough. But it was a great gig, great group of people that I worked with. I truly enjoyed it. And I never thought about it that way, but I did get to put on a mask.
You did tip your leading lady off that you had mono, though, right?
I think she knew, yeah. I think everybody knew. Everyone, the guy that's shooting every day, our Lone Ranger is sick, so... Bring him tea now, everyone. It's cold out. Put a towel around him. You're like, no, I'm fine. And they're putting a towel around you. I mean, you're the insurance risk right there. So everybody knew.
You're the Lone Ranger. You got to be tough. I mean, it's very cool. I mean, it's definitely they. It's not the Cavendish Gang. It's the Regulators. There's rock music. You have superpowers. You're like flying through the air. I mean, that's very strange. But you know, what's interesting is that it kind of reminds me of. You know, the Green Hornet came out of the Lone Ranger radio show. Reminds me a lot of the Green Hornet. You got the mask. You've got Tonto, who's kind of like Kato, almost like a Bruce Lee kind of thing. A lot of very cool stuff going on. In your opinion, what seems to be the issue in just bringing this character alive? Because they've been trying ever since, you know, the days of Clayton Moore. You know, the 81 movie didn't make it. The recent movie didn't make it. What do you think needs to be done for this character to just bring him to a modern audience?
I think you have to completely contemporize the gig. I think the outfit, you know, I think that the mask just really speaks to a past generation that doesn't necessarily understand it as much, I don't think. I think that it just doesn't play cool to us. It's really hard to put on that blue outfit and the hat, and they just need to change it up. And I know that that takes away from the reality, the true world of comics. You know, it takes away from the people who loved it for so long, but everything kind of changes with the times. And I think maybe it's time to just kind of cool it up. If you're going to do it, there's got to be a way to ditch the mask. I think. I don't know. I really don't have the answer for you. Otherwise, I mean, I don't think anyone has the answer. Otherwise, it would have been done.
Yeah, it seems to be a struggle. And it's such a great character, too. And what I like about your version, as with the other versions, he doesn't kill. And even if he's thinking about it, Silver is like right there to make sure that he doesn't kill.
Right. He's almost, to a certain degree, the Captain America morale back in the West.
Exactly. That's exactly the way I saw it, too. How many takes on the twirling gun into the holster? Did you get it first time?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That was my that's my bread and butter. Every time I'm on set and I get a gun, I'm just so happy because I just play with it all day long.
Are you serious? Did you actually get it in one take?
I think I got it the first take.
Oh, nice.
I don't recall. It was 13 years ago, my friend.
That's
okay.
That was a long time ago. That's okay. I'm happy knowing it.
But I'm pretty good with a gun.
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, you look comfortable with it, so it looks very cool. All right, from one comic character to another, not from the comics, but certainly definitely in the comic book universe, Marvel's Agent Carter. Were you a Marvel fan coming into this project?
I have definitely become one, for sure. I think you'd have to be living under a rock to not have seen one of the fantastic franchises that they brought to life on a big screen. And they're just incredible films. Fanfare, they're entertaining, and they're fun. They really make you just fall in love with the characters. I mean, the most recent one that I saw was Guardians of the Galaxy. How great was that? And I never expected, because I didn't know anything with Guardians of the Galaxy, but man, they pulled it off. They hit a home run with it. It was great. And so they just really know how to make great fanfare and make great quality film and television. So I'm just grateful to be part of the brand and be part of the team.
Yeah, we mentioned that on a recent episode where it's like, here's a raccoon with a machine gun and a tree. Deal with it. And there, you know, there's your box office right there. You're a jock.
Works for me, I was told.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now you're a jock. We've talked about this. I'm going to assume you didn't read comic books as a kid.
Just the X-Men. I was an X-Men guy. My brother was a Spider-Man guy. We watched Batman, the Ninja Turtles, things like that growing up.
Okay, so you had some nerd cred.
The comic universe. Yeah, I get a little bit of street cred, and I wrote a graphic novel.
You did. We're going to talk. I definitely want to talk about that. Yeah, that amped up your nerd cred big time. You're an author of a graphic novel.
Thank you.
We are definitely going to be talking about that. Now, coming into this project, Marvel's Agent Carter, how did you see the character of Jack Thompson? How was it explained to you? How did you decide to approach this role?
Well, seeing as it was the first time we were really going to be introduced to him, I got to go at it with a clean slate. And what I really just wanted to do is bring someone who was driven, and drive was the number one thing that was his best friend and his worst enemy. His drive makes him unlikable to the rest of the people, but his drive is also what has made him rise to the top of the SSR. So I really want him to be goal-oriented all the time and have a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. Now, are you familiar with the show Night Court at all? Have you ever seen it?
Of course. My dad grew up, when I grew up, my dad watched it all the time.
Okay. Jack Thompson kind of reminds me of Dan Fielding from Night Court. He's just kind of like that sexist, smarmy. He's like the perfect foil.
I was hoping you were going to say Bull.
No, Bull's nice. Bull's nice and simple.
That would have been
No, he's Dan Fielding. He's definitely Dan Fielding.
All right, I'll take it. Hey,
no, but that's the meatiest role, though, because you get to just like sink your teeth into these things as an actor. It's like, you know, you're going up against Peggy Carter, and you're supposed to be on her side, but it's just like there seem to be so many different layers to this character. Did you know the whole story arc when you signed on, like all eight episodes?
No, none of us did, actually. We literally got to grow along with it. I know they had everything plotted out, as Marvel always does. They always have a plan, which is incredible. That's what makes them so successful. But for us, we only found certain pieces of knowledge when we needed to know them. For instance, I didn't know about Jack's past. And when I found out what Jack's past was, it really changed the direction of my work. And what I like about living in Jack's shoes is that he has so many places he can go. He does have a depth to him. He has a history to him. And we haven't seen all of him. We haven't really peeled back all the layers. So there's just so much more that we can discover about who he is and who he's going to be. So, he's definitely the most fun for me. You know, when you play the moral compass of a show, which I did on One Tree Hill for years, and I think we have that in our Sousa character here, after a while, you kind of get used to playing the same bit over and over and over and over again, where Jack is always going to bring something new. He's always going to be just a little bit different, a little bit dangerous, a little bit wrong, say the wrong thing, possibly save the day and shock everyone. You know, it's always, I like the dynamic.
I think that's what I like about the show so much is that, well, first of all, you got the 8-episode format, so everything is, it's like a microcosm of an entire season. So everything's amped up and these layers just keep appearing. What's it like as far as shooting an 8-episode story arc? Here's your season, as opposed to a full season of a show.
I actually really enjoyed the 8-episode format. I think we left a lot on the table. We really did. And there's just so much more story to tell. And we basically made 8 mini movies. Is what we did. You know, you get to take, and you don't have to save moments for a later episode. When you do 22 episodes, you end up having these contained episodes because you got to either save on budget or you need to save a storyline for a later date, sweeps week, be it. When you just do 8, every episode just gets bigger and better, and it's always a home run each time.
It kind of reminds me of like an NFL season compared to like a baseball season. It's like in NFL, like every game counts. It's like every
That's
second.
That's why I love the NFL.
Yes.
That's why I love the NFL. You know, if you lose a game in baseball, it's like, okay, cool, we'll win the next one or the next 10, or we'll, you know, it's not as important at the moment versus in the NFL. You lose a game and that could be it. You know, you could lose a division because of that one game. Every game really counts. And with our show, we really got to put and invest all of our time and energy in each episode. And we knew it was coming to an end after 5 months, and so you weren't burned out.
Yeah. Oh, Agent Carter is definitely the NFL of the Marvel Universe. Peggy Carter, you and Peggy Carter go right at it. Episode 1, what was it like working with Hayley Atwell and the energy that she brings to that role?
Oh, Hayley's great. I mean, she was meant to play Peggy Carter. She really was. She's Peggy Carter in spades. She's great. I mean, every day you sit there and you work with such a seasoned actress who's been trained, you know, in London and trained around the world and done so many things. So I think it's nice to just sit down and go to work with someone that has a great personality and a great energy, and you just get to do the work. And that's what the show really was about. Everybody was really about the work. Everyone wanted to make each scene better, and we would work the scenes out to bring them to life. You know, a lot of times when you're doing television, you don't have the time to really work through a scene. And we took the time, whether it was in between takes or whether it was, you know, while setting up the next shot, we just would sit down and we'd go through scenes with directors and we'd try different things out just to make it as good as it could be for the viewers, for the fans.
What was your experience shooting the episode The Iron Ceiling? That's the one featuring the Howling Commandos. We get our introduction to Dr. Faustus. I mean, there's so much going on, and really the layers to Jack Thompson really start getting pulled away.
That was a great episode. As you know, we went to Russia.
Did you actually shoot that in Russia?
I'm just going to let everyone assume that we did.
Okay. Well, when you said that, I thought they didn't go to Russia. There's no budget for that.
But could you tell? No, we had that was a lot of fun.
Okay.
We had a lot of nights, just a great camaraderie with all the guys, the Howling Commandos, great guys, just a great group of people that we got to go to work with. And I just had fun. I mean, we were kids running around with guns shooting in the woods. It was awesome.
Yeah. It's almost like a mini sequel to Captain America.
That's, I think, what people really probably loved most about it. You could see the Howling Commandos come back and you get to feel the 1944, 45 atmosphere from Captain America, the original, and just, yeah, exactly, a mini sequel, just a mini little taste to throw you back. It was great.
So when you got that script, was that the first time that you realized Thompson's backstory and what happened to him and why he got the medal that he got?
Yes, it was.
Oh, wow. What did you think when you first read that? We're going to spoil everything. Yeah, we're spoiling everything here. But, yeah, he's got some layers, man. What did you think when you first read that?
You know, I thought that it was a really sad story that you have to relive over and over again because you screwed up. You know, you made a mistake. And because of that mistake, you have to live with the consequences. And you want that moment to just wipe the slate clean. And I think it gives you that chip on your shoulder. I felt it's hard to feel bad for someone who made that type of mistake. But at the same time, you do because he has to carry that guilt. And what would you do if you were put in that situation, if you were living in that moment when someone came out and you're at war and people come into your camp in the middle of the night and you react instead of realizing that they're carrying the white flag. So I think we really took a lot of time to make sure that the audience could see through Jack's eyes what really occurred. You know, when we told the story, we really took time to tell the first story and then the second story on the plane on the way home when he admits to Peggy that here's what really happened, here's the truth. I've been trying to get this off my chest for forever, and I've never been able to. I got a Navy cross for taking innocent lives, and I feel terrible about it.
Yeah, I was already invested in the series, and then that episode aired, and that scene aired, and I just went... Because up to then, I kind of thought of his character as kind of like a one-note character. And I thought, okay, well, there's a reason he's there. I get that. But then all of a sudden, there's that. And it's like, oh, they were taking us somewhere. And it just took it up another level. And I'm like, okay, I'm really invested in this character now. And that's when I thought, okay, Thompson's going to start coming around to Peggy's point of view. And then we've got the penultimate episode, Snafu. Oh, and Dooley. Ah! Goes out the window.
Bye,
oh. And I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Now, okay, he's gone. We got to do something with Thompson. Yeah, it just was, when you're shooting these things and you're saying you're getting these things as they're coming in, no character is safe, especially Dooley. What are you thinking when you're shooting these episodes?
I think you just want to do the best work every day. Marvel is a great family. They're a great group of people to work for. Marvel, Disney, ABC, that whole group that we go to work for with, they're just the best people, and you really just want to lay it all on the line for them. And sometimes in the beginning of the season when Jack was a little bit more one note, it's hard, but we know that there's always an end goal and that we're going to develop more, and it's going to make the payoff much larger. There's always a reason. There's always a reason for why they're doing things a certain way. And I think by the end, even though Jack made the decision he made, you still love him for it. I think you're going to love him more and more as the series goes on, you know, because you're going to have to see the trials and tribulations that this man is going to have to go through and what makes him tick and can he handle it? How much can he handle? What's actually going to be the thing that turns him into the man that he's always wanted to be? And I think those are the things that we're going to see. And I'm excited for the journey.
Well, that's the brilliance of the writing and the producing and everything, and from the actor's standpoint, because you guys sold it. I mean, I did not want Dooley to go out the window. Like, they're not going to do this. And he does it. I'm like, don't do this. Stark's going to figure it out.
No one's safe. We lost Dooley, Krasinski after the third episode. I mean, Krasinski died in the third one aired, but it was our fourth episode.
Yeah.
No one is safe. No one is safe, and we've talked about it. None of us are safe. There's nobody that's safe. I'm assuming Peggy's safe because it is called Agent Carter.
Yeah.
It would be weird to take her out. But, yeah, no one's safe. And there's so many secrets in the Marvel Universe that we have hidden and that we get to play with still, you know, and it'll be interesting to see where we can take it.
Well, we've got
the opportunity.
We've got the Agent Carter one shot, so we know that she ends up running S.H.I.E.L.D. We know the SSR becomes S.H.I.E.L.D. We know she ends up co-running it, so we know that. What discussions have the producers, the writers had with you or anybody regarding possible story arcs? Do we know anything about a season two? Give us something. Give us something to hang our hat on so we know it's coming back.
Man, I would love to do that. I really, really would.
Something. Give us a little nugget. Give us a little nugget.
Here's the great thing about working for Marvel, and you know it. My lips are tied. Everything. Everything dies with us. We have a sniper on us 24/7. And if anything squeaks out of our lips, we're in trouble.
I got to do my job. And I talked to Max Hernandez from Captain America, and he was like, I could tell you, but they'd kill me. He's like, I can't talk.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it that way.
Should I be enthusiastic?
I would be.
Okay. That's enough. That's something.
I would be enthusiastic, and I would have everybody start hashtagging Renew Agent Carter. Get it out there on the social media wire, and we will see what the gods hold very soon.
It's owned by Disney. It's owned by ABC. It's Marvel. That's got to come back. Yeah. Any talk about popping up in a flashback? These characters pop up all through the Marvel movie universe. Have they talked about you popping up somewhere else? You don't have to tell us where, but are there like some other? are you on the set anywhere? Are you just hanging out with the Avengers? Are you looking at anybody? What's Robert Downey Jr. really like?
Yeah, I can't tell you, man. I can't tell you.
All right, fair enough.
I'll say that. I can't say anything. I genuinely can't. I would love to, but when things are announced for their future of what characters are where, you will definitely hear about it.
Fair enough. And we want all these characters to come back, even dually, maybe in a flashback. That would be kind of cool. All right, we talked about your nerd cred. You have written a graphic novel, Everlast. Tell us about Everlast.
Oh, goodness. It came to me after a man showed up at my door preaching about the end of days and how 144,000 people would be saved. I listened and I thought, God, what a fantastic idea. What if only 144,000 people, instead of being saved, were meant to survive the end of days? How would we find them? How would they be chosen? What if there were people in this world, soldiers, be it of a higher power, who were destined to find those people, who had a list that would transfer through their head like a sixth sense. They could feel something that we called a nudge, and it would pull them and compel them to follow somebody, and then they keep them safe so that when the end of days come, mankind could rebuild itself, kind of like the Garden of Eden. And that's where the story originated, from this man, and we followed this soldier named Everlast as he goes on this journey of finding these people before the end of days comes. And the tragic part of the story is that he falls in love with a woman who is not on that list, who's not meant to survive the end of days. Or as far as he knows, she's not meant to survive the end of days.
And is any chance of this being optioned? Can we see like a live-action version of this? Have they talked anything about that?
We've been playing with it. We've been playing with different versions of it that could play well in different universes. And we're just trying to find the right version to play the landscape for, whether it's television or film, it's got to be the right version of it, you know? You could do a serialized version of the show. You could do a procedural version of the show. You could do the film version of the story. Really, at the end of the day, it comes down to which version that we feel most confident in moving forward. And we've had a few conversations here and there, but I've had my hands tied for about the last 9 months shooting like crazy, so I need to get back to it.
You're going back to graphic novel world. Any more graphic novels coming out of you? I mean, anything bouncing around your head that we might be able to see in the four color format?
There will be, for sure. I'm definitely not done. I love writing. I actually, hopefully the end of this year, I haven't had a release date yet, but I did write a full length novel called American Drifter that will be out either late this year or early next. And so that's the next piece of writing that will be coming out. And then I am bouncing around a few ideas. One that I really love and that I want to do, I'm just trying to figure out who to team up with this time. I love Arkea, and they're now with Boom. And so I got to go over there and sit down. But there's definitely one that I'm breaking down all the storylines so that it can be an infinite world, so that there is infinite stories to tell.
Well, you're definitely fully entrenched in the comic book world now. Any chance we could see these on Crackle? That's where Chosen is found, correct?
Oh, God, you never know. I mean, I know Crackle's definitely searching for new content, and it's scaling your product to, you know, fit that mold. With Crackle, you have a very specific budget, and you have a very specific time frame to be able to shoot these things. I mean, just like any network. And to take a show like, for saying, an Everlast, which is a very, you know, pre-apocalyptic, kind of The Crow meets Constantine, you're talking about a large budget with a lot of digital effects. So to scale these projects down to where they can fit in episodic television, it's tough. And so that's what I'm working on now, trying to figure out how to scale these pieces to fit the mold.
And Crackle's where Seinfeld's new show is, right? Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Comedians in Cars, yep.
Okay,
so they just released a new show.
Okay, and you've got Chosen on there, season 4 coming up, is that correct?
I don't know. From what I hear, that there's rumblings of it. So
okay.
Just keep your ears to the grindstone. 2 and 3, I mean, what a great ride I had on that show. I just loved it. Loved
on a personal level, too,
so
though, right?
Too.
On a personal level? Seriously.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that I'm not a very social person, so I always meet anyone in my life.
And I
say that because I stay home a lot. I'm very much a homebody, and so I got to very blessed to meet the most special human being in my life on Chosen.
You're married and having a kid.
Damn right.
How great is that? How great is that? That's like the perfect job.
I'll tell you this, the greatest gig I ever had.
The great Sarah Romer.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's an incredible woman.
Did you catch a little heat for revealing the gender of your child?
It's so funny. I haven't I just sit back, you know. People can say what they want to say. I actually never revealed the gender of my child yet.
You said my son.
Which is actually pretty funny.
You said my son.
No, I said when I have a son.
Okay, okay.
No, I said when I have a son.
Okay.
I said someday when I have a son, I'm hoping that he would be like me.
Okay.
We don't actually know yet. We're still waiting to find out.
I just want to make sure you're not sleeping on the couch, that's all.
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No.
Just making sure you're okay.
Life is good, man. I'm perfect. I couldn't be better. I have the most wonderful life. I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful.
Well, congratulations for that. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Big time. And you've also got another miniseries coming up, Texas Rising. Tell us a little bit about that. This is coming up at the end of May with Bill Paxton and Ray Liotta.
Yeah, Memorial Day, I believe, is the release. I'm not 100% positive, but I'm 90%. What an undertaking that film was. It's 5 months down in Durango, Mexico. And, you know, it was one of the toughest shoots I think any of us on that production have ever had, just due to the elements and the amount of material. You're talking about an 8-hour miniseries. It's a lot of material to keep everything straight and to keep your arc and to keep everything alive and to keep the energy alive after working long days in 100-degree heat marching all day. It's tough, but I think that it's paid off. Everyone's hard work has really paid off, because from what I've seen, it's impressive, and everybody should be really proud of themselves. Leslie Grice, Roland Joffe, they just did an incredible job with this project.
What's the story? Is that it's a docudrama?
Yeah, it's the story of the rise of Texas. You know, when Texas was at war with Mexico, and the rise of Texas, we basically pick up from the Alamo and we take the story from there. And it's a hell of a ride. It really is. It's stunning, and the performances are incredible. Really, my hat's off to everybody on this one, because I was shocked when I saw it. I couldn't believe how great it was. You know, it's really quality film.
Oh, we can't wait to see it. And this is going to be on the History Channel?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of places, but History Channel is definitely our parent. They're the ones that kicked us off. So it'll be on History Channel and a few other networks that they have relationships with.
Sounds good. We can find all about that on social media. How can fans find out more about you? Twitter? Where are you on Twitter?
Twitter, I don't even remember my name, but I think it's at Chad M. Murray.
You are correct, sir.
I believe I'm at Chad.
Yes, you are.
Is that me?
That's exactly where you are. That's right. And you are
better at this social media thing. I think 2 years ago, I didn't even have an email, so I'm coming along.
You got a kid on the way. Look, we'll take care of that. You don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. You're on Instagram, ChadMurray15, and the website is thechadmichaelmurray.com.
That's true. You're good, man. You're on top of it. Thank you so much. And it's hashtag Texas Rising, hashtag Agent Carter, or Renew Agent Carter. And yeah, I just I'm living a very blessed life, man. Thanks for chatting.
Oh, no worries. Hashtag Renew Agent Carter, indeed. And we're hoping to hear some good news that Agent Carter is going to be picked up for a second season. We hope to see you in some Marvel flashbacks. That would be cool. Chad, thank you so much for joining me today on Comic Book Central.
Thank you, brother. You be well.
I'm not sure if you caught it during the interview, but at one point when we were discussing the character arc of Jack Thompson on Marvel's Agent Carter, Chad did say, and I quote, "I think you're going to love him more and more as the series goes on." Okay, we know there's been no announcement of, at least as far as the air date of this episode, as to the future of Agent Carter, but I think Chad may have just given us some hope there. He did say, as the series goes on. So, just saying, that'd be very cool. We hope it does. As I said, Marvel's Agent Carter is available on iTunes and Amazon. Episodes 4 through 8 are free on ABC.com and Hulu. Get them while they're still there, folks. They could be gone soon. So, you can get all 8 episodes, catch up. If you pushed this on pause before and you watched them, you're all caught up. So, it's cool. Hope you love the series. Let me know. Let me know what you think about it. For Chad, you can follow him on Twitter at Chad M. Murray, Instagram, ChadMurray15, the website is thechadmichaelmurray.com. Texas Rising premieres Memorial Day. You can find out more at the History Channel. It's history.com/shows/Texas-Rising. And of course, you can pick up a copy of Everlast on Amazon. I'm going to put all those links up in the show notes at my website, comicbookcentral.net. We said it. Hashtag Renew Agent Carter. Hashtag Texas Rising. Hey, hashtag Share the Lair. Have you done that yet? For those of you that have, I appreciate it. Did you like this interview? How about Stan Lee? William Shatner, Star Trek cast members, Firefly cast members, Superman, Spider-Man, oh, Batman, Wonder Woman, Hulk. They've all been on the show. All these superheroes, they've been here. These great legendary talents. Hashtag Share the Lair, folks. It is working. More new subscribers on iTunes, more likes on Facebook, new listeners all the time. Welcome again to those who are just jumping in. I appreciate everything you folks are doing to get the word out about Comic Book Central. Keep it up. It is working. The website, comicbookcentral.net. Again, subscribe to the show on iTunes. Please leave a review while you're there if you are liking the show. Facebook. Give us a like. It's facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork. Don't forget the network. Share the Lair and follow Comic Book Central on Twitter at comicbookctrl. And be sure to drop me a line. I love to hear from you listeners. Give me your ideas for guests. Give me your ideas for great shows that I may have forgotten about. There's so many different things out there. Tell me what you think about Agent Carter. It's joe@comicbookcentral.net. Or you can click the Signal Me tab on the website, comicbookcentral.net. All right, folks, like the Lone Ranger, I'm riding off into the sunset, but I shall return because next week on Comic Book Central, Marvel Mania continues. We talked about one of the shows in the Marvel TV universe today, Agent Carter. Well, the head honcho of Marvel TV, comic book legend Jeff Loeb is going to be here. That's right, the man who wrote some of my favorite comic book series of all time. Superman for All Seasons, Batman Dark Victory, the Marvel Color series, Daredevil Yellow, Spider-Man Blue, Hulk Gray. He wrote all those. He wrote and produced for Smallville, Heroes. He's now the head of Marvel TV. We're going to talk more Agent Carter. We're going to talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going to talk the new Marvel Netflix series that's going to kick off in just a few short weeks, Daredevil. Jeff Loeb in the Lair next time. Until then, have a marvelous week. Keep reading those comics. Thanks for joining me here in the Lair, Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 imported license. All of the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
Carter, I'm going to be a little busy with your friend Stark. If you don't mind, these surveillance reports need to be filed in. You're really so much better at that kind of thing.
What kind of thing is that, Agent Thompson? The alphabet? I can teach you. Let's start with words beginning with A.
Thanks, kid. Adios. Avidaze.
Aloha.
Poor guy. Heard he got his personality shot off in Iwo Jima.